Skinny fries.
Jesus Christ.
I'm never going to understand this.
I know. I don't understand why you don't understand, like, the distance between sound and light. Light travels faster than sound.
We should do an episode on the speed of light.
Physics? On basic physics? I don't want to do a basic light goes faster than sound episode? What's wrong
I don't
with
think
you?
We have the
oh my god
listener bandwidth to do one on
no,
that. That's
I
like
think
a
both
whole
of them would leave.
College curriculum.
Unbelievable.
How are you, sir?
Light versus sound. Better than you, because I understand basic physics.
Yeah. Take any drugs lately?
Christ, drugs? Never taken drugs. The listener, what is that a reference to? I don't even get the reference.
Well, the reason I asked is because I figured this week I would, I want to talk about drugs. Specifically.
Oh.
Yeah. I know that was kind of an odd way to start this episode. But like smoking weed was like the drug. Like that was bad.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody growing up that was into worse drugs. Not at least until I got to college. Right. I had a roommate in college who used to drink Robitussin to get drunk. Like that's when it got worse. But really, high school days, it was weed. Nowadays, it seems to be like, you know, the natural drugs are nothing. Synthetic drugs are almost nothing. Now we got to get into prescription drugs that become something. And those are the big killer. So if you've probably noticed in the news, there's been a lot of talk about fentanyl lately and opioids and, you know, oxycodone was big in the news the past couple of years. Lots of court settlements. Now we're on to fentanyl. So I don't know why I really want to learn more about this and talk about this this week, but it was just kind of on my mind. I didn't really know much about it other than it was an opioid. So I figured this week, if you're game, we can talk about the skinny on fentanyl.
Yeah, I'd love to get that. I know you probably researched this and you know I haven't. So I am.
You know I have stats.
I'm thrilled for you to tell me the skinny on fentanyl.
Oh, got to get the stretch in. All right. What do you know about fentanyl?
I know nothing. I think, you know, I know I've got a 15-year-old, right? So. Mm-hmm. I know this drug is being laced with many others, that it's incredibly dangerous, that the dosage that's used in medical applications, it's a very narrow difference between that and the dosage that will kill you, and that many people are dying and we're in the middle of an opioid crisis. That's it. That's all I know. So I would love for you to give me the skinny on everything else because I don't know it.
Yeah, so you're not far off. Mostly right. Couple things. So let's talk about what it is, okay? So you're spot on. It's a synthetic opioid. It is very similar to morphine. Mm. So I think we all know what morphine is. It's a pain drug. However, fentanyl is 50 to 100 times stronger.
Wow.
So like, yeah, I remember. Okay, so flashback story real quick. When I was in college, there was a time when I got a really, really bad muscle spasm. Like I couldn't move bad. And my girlfriend at the time in college actually took me to the ER. I had to go in a wheelchair. Like, it was that bad. I couldn't move. And the doctors gave me a drug called Dilaudid.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard of that.
Yeah. So they explained it to me. Like, it's kind of like a synthetic heroin. It's an opioid, right? And I got 0.5 milligrams, I think, is what it was.
Okay.
And that was enough to make me feel like I was literally flying. Like, tingles from head to toe. Just felt like I was on clouds. Okay. So that Dilaudid is a little bit stronger than morphine. Fentanyl is 50 to 100 times stronger than morphine. And just like morphine, just like Dilaudid, it is used to treat pain when medically issued, especially after people have surgery. Now, there's some, like, I guess, legal names for it. I don't know if legal is the right term. Actic, Duragesic, Sublimase. These are all kind of like the accurate names for it, not the street names. And it is categorized as a Schedule II drug.
Okay.
So really, really powerful. Now, here's where it takes a turn for the bad. Okay, so these, I got to throw some stats in there. First of all, when it's given as a prescription, it can be given one of three ways. It's either given as a shot, as a patch, or as a lozenge.
Shot, patch, lozenge.
Okay, when prescribed.
Hell of a piece of cold medicine.
Yeah. Or like a nicotine patch or something, right? Not a pill. Not a powder. Those are, I think, the important things, okay? When it's given illegally, it's usually given it as either a powder dropped on blotter paper, put in eyedroppers, or as a nasal spray. And sometimes it's available as a pill.
Mm.
Okay, so again, when you think about powder, drops, those are fast-acting, instantly into your bloodstream kind of dosing methods. Mm. Pills take a little bit longer. And it's also sometimes mixed with other drugs, and this is where it gets really dangerous. Pretty often, fentanyl can be mixed with cocaine, with heroin, with meth, and with MDMA. Mm. And the reason that a lot of people mix them with those drugs is because fentanyl is pretty cheap to make, and the other ones are not. And so if you are a drug dealer and you're selling some coke or some heroin, you can lace it with fentanyl and essentially get more dosage, make more money, right? Here's where fentanyl gets really, really scary. So a 2 milligram dose of fentanyl is enough to kill an adult. And it'll kill an adult usually within 2 minutes. Like, that is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, completely.
And roughly 42% of pills that have been confiscated and tested for fentanyl had at least 2 milligrams of fentanyl per pill. Right. To put that in a larger scale, a kilogram of fentanyl is enough to kill 500,000 people. Right. So this kind of, pertains to when you think about, importing or smuggling fentanyl into the country, you know, bringing in bricks or whatnot. Like, that's a lot of lives right there. I do want to quickly say, the majority of fentanyl that comes in this country does not come from illegal immigrants in this country.
Sure.
It is actually legally brought in through ports,
yep.
Which makes it even scarier, right? So I don't want to go down this immigrant path. Like, facts are facts. We don't want to talk about that. We're talking more about what the drug is. Really, really powerful. Takes a really small dosage to kill someone. And used pretty often when it's mixed with other drugs. I don't have a lot of stats on fentanyl-specific deaths because a lot of what I was looking at and found was dealt with just opioids as a general category.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things I found. So last year in California, in the state of California, one out of every 5 people between the ages of 15 and 24 that died of fentanyl overdose.
Wow.
We're talking about kids. Like, we are not talking about adults even. 15 to 24 are your high school, college days.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing. In Texas, in 2021, more than 1,600 people died of fentanyl overdose. And this is where it gets even more severe. That number was up almost 90% year over year for deaths. So it is, oxycodone, oxycontin, that's kind of become publicized and in the mainstream, and I think a lot of people are becoming more aware of that, and or it's harder to get that now because pharmacies are being cracked down on, doctors are being more diligent in refraining from prescribing that.
Sure.
But now fentanyl in the illegal method is becoming a lot more readily available. So pretty scary stuff, kind of terrifies me. But now that we kind of know a little bit about it, did you learn anything new from that?
A kilogram can kill them, what'd you say, 1 million people?
Half a mil.
The staggering scope of that, just how little is actually needed is really surprising. And I didn't know that there were that many medical applications. I guess I always think of it as an illegal drug. And so I know there are some, but I didn't know that it was kind of used in that way. And it was used differently. I guess that's the thing I thought about before is like, well, how small would the dose have to be if it were a pill form? But I guess that's a kind of direct to blood relationship, right? When you're taking it as a pill or a powder.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you take something as a pill, like it has to go through your entire digestive system, dissolve, get absorbed. Powder drops are instantaneous. And the when I was researching this, the thing that really stuck out to me was a 2 minute mark. Like, you don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. And when I think about buying drugs, it kind of puts a lot of trust in a weird way into those people who are dealing the drugs, cutting the drugs, because you're hoping that they're measuring, right? You're hoping it's not even laced. Right, if you're going to buy that stuff. But if it is, if it's going to be, like, there's a lot of risk. So, sure. I think you and I are in the same boat. Just drugs are dumb. Don't do them, right?
Yeah, of course.
I'm not talking about smoking weed, just drugs in general. But this just takes it to another level. So now that we kind of know a little bit about it, I want to talk a little bit about what it does when it's in your system. So I want to talk about mostly the brain effects, because that's how opioids kind of work. We'll talk about some of the side effects, what overdosing means and looks like, and how to treat it. And then the addictive properties of fentanyl. And then finally kind of wrap up with like treatment. Okay. So let's talk about, first of all, like what it does to your brain. So opioids in general, once they enter your system, they will go directly to your brain and they connect to opioid receptors. And those are receptors in your brain that kind of control the pain and emotions aspects of you. Okay. And the reason opioids are so addictive and so kind of so dangerous is that over time, your brain adapts to that. So if you took a bump, you know, or a, you know, whatever, however you want to do it, over time, you're going to need more and more and more to get the same effects. Well, we know 2 milligrams will kill someone, right? So that risk goes up higher and higher every time you're doing it as you do it more and more. So let's talk about some of the side effects. So this first side effect is probably the reason why most people do these things. Extreme happiness, right? So again, the pain and emotion side of it. So extreme happiness is one of the main side effects. Some other ones that kind of goes downhill from here. Drowsiness, nausea, confusion, constipation, sedation, problems breathing, and unconsciousness. Right. So it's like the good part and a ton of bad parts, right? I've never done drugs, so I don't really know why. I don't know what that positive feels like to speak to it. But looking at something like this, it's like a 1 in 9 chance, right? Like 1 positive for 9 negatives, including death 10. Probably not worth it, in my opinion.
Right. Agreed.
And so as you start to do more and more, the risk of overdose becomes higher and higher. And when you do overdose, it's actually something known as hypoxia. And hypoxia is basically when there's a decrease in oxygen to the brain, right? And so there's some treatments for it. As you know, like Narcan has been in the news a lot lately. The FDA has now approved it for over-the-counter sales.
Okay.
So Narcan is a very popular way of treating any sort of overdose. And the thing that's different with fentanyl is that, well, first of all, it has to be administered almost immediately. Like, you don't have a lot of time when this drug can kill you within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And the way it works is once you administer something like Narcan, it will immediately and rapidly go and bind to those opioid receptors in your brain to then block the effects of fentanyl or another opioid from being in control.
Yeah.
But because fentanyl is so strong, it usually requires multiple doses of Narcan, right? So it's not just, I've got my Narcan here, one shot, hopefully you're good. It's, I got to do it, keep an eye on you, keep doing it. Obviously, please, anybody who's listening to this, if you ever come across anybody or any situation, first thing you do is please call 911, get some professional help there. Hopefully none of you who are listening will ever have to be in that situation or know anybody who's ever been in that situation, but I think that's a really important message. Fentanyl is also a very addictive drug. I think all opioids are, and we've kind of learned this. I know, like we said, oxycodone and stuff has been in the news a lot lately. What things do you know or do you kind of have you learned about how these drugs work when it comes to addiction?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the medical reason it causes it, but I have some family history with that drug, and so I know some from some firsthand experience with it. Not, I guess firsthand's wrong. Secondhand, it's not me, but a family member.
Got you. Yeah, you know, I don't know anybody personally, and I'm kind of thankful for that. I know people who have been on pain medicine. Mm-hmm. And who've gotten addicted to pain meds.
Sure.
And they got prescribed those, you know, from a doctor legally. Opioids work the same way, right? And so the reason they tend to be addictive is because they're highly potent. They work.
Yeah.
If you're in pain and you take an opioid, you no longer have pain. There's a little bit of a difference between those, though, and other drugs when it comes to withdrawal. So some of the withdrawal symptoms, and with fentanyl, it's interesting because that withdrawal process starts pretty quickly. It's like within a couple hours.
Yeah.
And as I go through this, I'd love to see if you catch on any similarities or differences with the side effects. Okay. So muscle and bone pain. I mean, I think that's given. It's a pain med.
Yep.
Sleep problems, diarrhea and vomiting, cold flashes and goosebumps. Uncontrollable leg movement, not the good kind that you want to burn extra calories, like we talked about a few episodes ago. And then severe cravings.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. So when I was putting this all together, my mind immediately went to the comparison aspect, and a lot of the withdrawal symptoms are essentially opposites of the side effects.
Yeah.
But there is treatment for it. And so there's three different kind of types of treatments. And I'm going to do my best to get these names right because they're kind of medical.
Sure.
Methadone.
Yeah.
That one is pretty common. Buprenorphine. And then naltrexone. None of these are going to be comfortable. Treatment never is. The withdrawals are never going to be easy. But the addiction, I don't think, is very easy either.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy, man. Like, reading about this stuff and just learning more specific about fentanyl is, and again, I think the thing that really, really gets me on this is how just dangerous it is.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't something that you're going to most likely overdose on because you keep getting your prescription medicine refilled at Walgreens. Mm-hmm. This is something that you're going to die from because the Coke you bought from somebody down the street is laced and you don't know. It's serious. It's a big deal. There's really no way to know that you're taking it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have a really cool or fun or exciting way to end this. I just wanted to really talk about it because I think it is an important thing for people to know and to be aware of.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, in a parenting way, I hope like this scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about doing something dumb and just it's not worth it. It really isn't.
It does. You know, and obviously I have a 15-year-old, so her and I have talked, and one of the things we talked about just 2 weeks ago was, you know, over the course of your life, you're going to be presented with many opportunities to make a decision, right? And I'm not going to be there for those moments. My dad used to always give the metaphor of it's like, you know, putting a space shuttle into orbit when you raise kids, because you have the smartest engineers in the world and you send them up into space and they go and they fly around the moon and they come back, and on their way back into the Earth, there's this moment for 2 minutes where all the radio shut off, right? And what my dad used to always say is, in that moment, the janitor and the most amazing engineer at NASA have the exact same amount of ability to make that space shuttle come back. And they're both praying the same way, as you just hope that those heat shields are going to hold up, right? And so my job as a parent is to build up the heat shields. And, you know, I was talking to Izzy about, like, hey, there's going to be a moment, and it will feel simple. It won't be someone that shows up with a trench coat and says, here's some drugs, kid. It'll be a friend that says, I've been taking the same, you know, pill to keep me awake and get better grades every day for the last 10 years. Just try one. You know, I can't sleep at night. I know you can't either. I've been taking this thing. And that might be the one that's laced with something. And like, and as I share with her, if you ever need one of those things or whatever the version of that is, come talk to me. We'll go to the doctor. We'll ask, you know, like, I'm not opposed to, I hope she doesn't ever need those. I am opposed to those, but in her eyes, sure. I'm not opposed to the use cases that are proper, but I want it to be explored in that medical way. And, you know, keeping her away from that is really scary. It's really interesting. You know, just the idea that it can get on your hands and hurt you. A lot of people won't, you know, I won't pick up a dollar bill laying on the ground anymore. Like, things like that are just really interesting how scary that world gets.
Thank you for sharing that too. I was going to ask you, you know, as a parent, how you approach that and how you would approach it. I think that's a lot of valuable teachings and just sharings with other people who are listening who are parents. You know, we just love to learn and share and kind of support and be supported and just provide a space for everyone. But it is, thank you for sharing that. The way you've gone through it with Izzy, of just having that open, honest dialogue with one another and keeping that bridge open. It's not a judgment thing. It's not a your trouble thing. It's a like, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Let me know if you need help, but let me know. Don't go to somebody you don't know.
Yeah. Of course. For help. That's what you have to do.
That's the skinny on fentanyl.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thank you.